kind of nice if we think about it. Jesus is our friend. And I want to explore that a little bit today as we've been talking about getting to know Jesus, right? It was this getting to know Jesus as our King, as our Lord, as our teacher. And today we want to explore this idea that Jesus is also our friend. And we've heard the sayings, you know, what a great friend we have in Jesus. Jesus is a friend of mine as a kid, you know, growing up and learning some of the songs, how, you know, Jesus is our friend. And I wonder if you guys would be willing to participate with me today. This is a little bit different than what we've done, but that's okay. We'll kind of mix it up. That way you never know what's coming on a Sunday morning. It's just fresh and new. So with that being said, talk with me for a moment. When you think of good friendships that have meant the world to you, that you have loved, have been dear to you, you have some words that you would use to describe those? Do they start to come to mind a little bit? Can you share those things this morning, like a little popcorn? Just kind of what are some of those things that for you have made for great friendships? Yeah. Dependability. I'll just kind of repeat to make sure we all hear.
Loyalty.
Trust.
Respect.
Come on, they're winning over here. You got to balance this thing. What?
Quality time.
Love.
Always there. Excellent. Some other ones that maybe come to mind?
Uninhibited.
What?
Uninhibited.
All right.
Sharing.
Excellent. Very good. We good?
Good memories.
There you go. Yeah. Excellent. I you know, it's funny because as I watch you share some of these words, I watch your faces, and there's a smile that, you know, there's a sense of joy as you think about that. And so that's pretty cool. And you no doubt have also experienced the other side, perhaps, where you've had some friendships that were not what you would consider ones that you would love to keep going, you know? And can you, what are some of the qualities of those friendships that you could think of that we could share today?
One-sided.
There we go. All right.
Earthly.
Betrayal.
Disappointment.
Distrust. Yep.
Gossiping.
Toxic.
All right.
What was it? Lying. Yeah. Anybody else?
Hurtful.
There we go. Yep. So as I'm watching you this time, I don't see the smiles creeping on your faces as you're sharing these words, right? Which makes sense, and I would expect that to be the case. I ask us to do that because we all know what it's like to have friendships that are good and some that are not so good. And no doubt we've learned from some of those things that we want to have in our future friendships and things that we would really like to avoid. And not have there. And so perhaps we've developed some friendships where we've been pretty careful to make sure that that person was not going to treat us the way some of those older friendships, some other ones that we had, because we don't want to repeat that. And absolutely get that. You guys have done really good. Thanks for participating with me this morning. When you have those friendships that, let's just say they aren't any fun. Right? They just really aren't much fun. I find that there's this feeling of sort of looking at the other person, and maybe you've been that person in that friendship before, but either way, when looking at that friendship and going, it feels kind of selfish. It feels sort of disrespectful. I feel like I'm being valued for what I can give away, instead of being valued for simply just who I am. I feel like they want me to participate in their life, but they really aren't quite so willing to participate in mine. And I feel like maybe if they do, they have some sort of agenda. They're going to do it, but they're going to want something out of it if they do. And those aren't any fun. maybe it's encouraging that we can go to the Bible and say, hey, there's all kind of dysfunctional friendships and relationships there, and we can go, whoo, I'm not alone. There are many others that have struggled as well. And there's been some that have had great friendships. You think of like Jonathan and David in the Old Testament, who, you know, they had one of the great friendships of the story, of the biblical story. This almost like this knitting together of souls. They were just tight, excellent, great friends together. And then you can think of some friendships, you know, even in relationships, like Jacob and Esau, right? So Jacob, what does he do? I mean, he steals Esau's birthright. You know, I mean, it's his own brother. Great friend, you know? It's like I would uncheck the box, right, on that one. And there's so many, like, in the Old Testament. And you can roll into the New Testament, and you can start to think of some, no doubt. And I'll throw a couple out here. One, I think of James and John, who are like, you know, we're saying to, and how love how mom gets involved and says, hey, Jesus, I would love for my boys to sit at your left and right hand. This would be great. This would be great. Which is absolutely horrible for, because what they're wanting to do is basically be elevated above everybody else and say, we're sitting in a place of honor above all the rest of you. We are, and when people do that, it just has this feeling. It's like, well, why do you think that you're so much better than I am? I can think of Judas Iscariot, spent so much time with Jesus, a friend of Jesus, and decides to betray him for some money in his pocket. I can think of just the culture of the day of when Jesus is traveling, teaching, and he's dealing with a culture where the Roman Empire is bringing their culture into Palestine. And the way the Romans viewed friendship was largely about reciprocity. So it's sort of reciprocating, which, you know, we sort of look at that from a Christian view and go, well, it's good that, you know, that I help somebody and then they turn around, they want to help me. And it's like, that's great because we bless each other. It's wonderful. But for the Romans, it wasn't quite that way. It was, well, if I scratched your back, you got to scratch my back. If I did something for you, you owe me now. It's reciprocity. It's a friend built on a debt. So when Jesus is teaching about how to treat others and how to love people for where they are, and this idea of being a friend, which we're going to read in John 15 in just a moment, he's pushing against this idea that friendship should be based on a debt. It should be based on you paying back somebody for what they did for you. And in fact, he says, nah, that's not what friendship should be based on. So in John 15, he's going to make this statement, which is a beautiful statement, and it's what I've sort of based this idea here today, and it's this idea that Jesus is our friend. In John 15:15, let me get there in just a moment. If you'd like to use your Bibles to read with me as I read a passage, then now would be an opportune time to do that if you want to do that. I'm also going to read it. John 15:15 is where I'll be. Before I get there, let me say that it's here in this particular chapter where Jesus teaches about the type of friend that he is. And if you're going to be a friend with Jesus and allow and welcome Jesus to be your friend, then what that's actually built upon, because that is key to understanding this idea that Jesus is our friend and we're a friend of Jesus. So with that being said, let me just paint a little bit of a picture here for a moment before I read this passage about the type of friend that Jesus is. He's the type of friend that sticks closer than a brother. You guys know what it's like probably to have that kind of friend where whatever you're going through, you know they got your back. And when you're struggling, you know they're going to be right there. You know that you can make a phone call in the middle of the night and need help if you were stranded or whatever the case would be, and they would get out of their bed and they would immediately come to your rescue, and they might even get there faster than some of your own family would. This idea of a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs 18:24. That verse isn't written about Jesus, but it applies to Jesus. That he is the type of friend who sticks closer than a brother. He's a selfless and respectful friend who participates in our relationship with God. He intercedes for our eternal good. He offers His presence without wanting gifts in return. You could kind of say, He offers His presence without wanting presents. See what I did there? Nah, I'm not even going to charge you for that. That's a free one. You can have it. All right. He offers His presence without demanding anything in return because He loves you. I've said it almost, I think about every week that I've been up here, and you've heard me just say it again, and I will hopefully say it every week that I'm up here. If you hear nothing else, when we talk about the idea that Jesus is our friend, would you please hear that it's connected to the gospel truth that Jesus loves you? And He is your friend not because you are good enough or smart enough or you have done enough or you have worked hard enough or you have proven yourself to be worthy. He is your friend because He loves you. This is the gospel message. Jesus is the type of friend who's a close companion, who knows our thoughts and our feelings that come from within us. You know this kind of friend who can just look at you and they can finish your statement before you even finish your statement? They know how you're feeling without you even having to say a word. They know you that well. Jesus is that kind of friend that knows you that well because He knows you better than anybody else. He knows your heart and your mind. He knows your struggles and your joys, your thoughts, your pains. He knows it all. He's that close of a companion. He's the kind of friend that listens to every word that you tell him. He's the kind of friend that pays attention to every thought that you offer up to him. And he listens as a confidant, as a counselor. You ever had that kind of friend where you know that you can go to them and you can share your deepest, darkest pain and they're not going to tell anybody else? It's safe with them. Doesn't it feel good to know that you have somebody that will hold that and be a confidant for you? But also, when you need words of wisdom, they're right there to offer those words, not because they want to set you straight or they want to tear you down, or they want you to feel that tall, but because they want to help you, they want to encourage you, they want to see you built up, they want to see you walking on the right path, they want to see your life full of joy in Christ, because they know your life's not always going to be full of joy, because life doesn't always go fun and happy ways. Sometimes life just stinks, and all you can do is just cry. But they come alongside you and just love you right where you are. They just walk with you, or perhaps they just sit with you and don't even say a word. That kind of close, good friend. Kind of friend that will be open with you and transparent, honest, clear with the truth. Those are kind of friends that change your lives. When you've got it that close of a friendship, that brings deep joy into your life. When Jesus was talking to His disciples in John chapter 15, if you want to be at John 15, 15, now's the time. In John 15, 15, here are the words that John records. He says, I no longer call you servants, or we could use the word slaves there, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Let me stop with that. The interesting thing to pick up on here when we hear Jesus say that, I've called you friends, which is a pretty cool thing to hear, to Jesus would sort of look at us and say, you're my friend. To me, at least to me, that's pretty cool. He does it in this context of saying, I don't call you a servant. Like, I don't look at you and say, I'm the master, you're the servant. I'm the master, you're the slave. He says, I don't do that. I look at you and I call you friend. And he says, I've made this shift, this change, because the master doesn't have the kind of relationship with the servant where the servant has insight and awareness and understanding and is made knowledgeable of the business and the heart of the master. It's a very cold, sort of separated, it's sort of like a business type of relationship, right? So for those of you who love word power, we could say it's a very dichotomous type relationship. He says, I've chosen to call you friends because everything that the Father has given to me, I've given to you. What the Father wanted you to know about Him and about our love for you, well, I've told you. I haven't come to you with any kind of angle, wanting something in return, right? Come alongside you and taught you and just loved you and brought joy in your life because I want you to do this. I'm going to try to manipulate you to get you to do what I want you to do, which is go make disciples. Please don't ever read that angle in the gospel because it's not there. He says, I've come and I've chosen to call you friend. Because I want what's good for you. I want your life to be blessed. I want you to know the open heart of the Father. I want you to know the truth of His Word. I want you to know the fullness of His love. I want you to know what it's like to walk in a relationship with God. I want you to know all of these things that you haven't understood before. I don't want you to just go do what I told you. I want you to know the joy of the Lord as you go. What a guy. Talk about a friend whose motives are pure and good. I'm going to do it again. I do this, I think, about every Sunday. So here we go. Let's just edge over this way and go to the cross again, right? Because when you think about Jesus being our friend, perhaps there's not much of a greater emblem in our faith that we ought to look to and think about the pure, good motives of God, selflessly, respectfully, choosing to give of Himself for the betterment of humanity so that we could be lifted up. It's pretty amazing how one thing can mean so much to us and be so much a part of our understanding of God. But it is. You want to think of Jesus being our friend? You got to keep coming back to the cross. But you got to think of the resurrection, because the cross without a resurrection is just an ugly death. A friend who really loves you and wants the best for you said, I'll die for you, but I'm going to be raised from the dead for you too, because when I go through all of that, then you're going to have the promise of eternal life. And I want that for you. Why? Because as a good friend, I want what's good for you. I'm going to make that possible for you. Why? Oh, yeah. He says, because I love you. That's the kind of friend that I hope all of us get to be able to, you know, check off in our social status and say, you know what? Yeah, friend, check of Jesus. Thank you. So we get that. Chapter 2 this morning. This friendship that Jesus talks about is one that's built on a very particular aspect. And to get it, what you want to do is you want to read the beginning of chapter 15. Don't have to do that right now, okay? But if you read the beginning of chapter 15, you'll see that Jesus uses the term the vine, the branch, right? And He talks about this idea. He says, look, if you really want to experience the fullness of what God has for you, you've got to remain in Me. You know, every branch that remains in the vine will produce much fruit. Apart from Me, you can do nothing. You need to abide in Me. To me, it's quite interesting that that's where Jesus starts, and then He says in the middle of the chapter, oh yeah, I don't call you servants, I call you friends. To me, I think that's very insightful, because what it does is it sets the stage for how do you be a friend of Jesus? Well, it seems to me that Jesus says, well, you need to abide in Me. And what does that sort of mean, that we would abide in Christ? And I thought I want to just keep it really simple and look at it like this. I don't believe we need to make this difficult because it's not meant to be difficult. It is quite simple. And here's what I'll give you sort of my picture of this from what I understand of the gospel and the scriptures. Jesus is inviting us into a friendship with Him. And as we come into salvation, we accept that invitation. But there is this understanding that in that friendship, in a good friendship, right? Because we've had the bad ones, so we're talking in a good one. In a good one, that with Jesus, to abide in Him is to welcome Him to know us for who we are. Now, I've heard a number of Christians say the kind of statement that says, well, I mean, you know, God knows me. He knows everything about me. And that's sort of where it stops. And it's a very cold, standoffish type of statement. And then I've also heard that said a little differently that says, you know what? God knows me, and I welcome Him to know me for all of who I am. Do you hear a difference in those two? To abide in Christ, I believe, has to begin with this sense of saying, God, I welcome you to know me for who I am in full. I don't want to hide anything from you. I want it all to be open and laid before you. I mean, like, I know that you know all of this already. I'm not telling you, God, something that's like, newsflash. But I want my heart to be open before you. And then there's this idea that faith requires a response from us and how we engage with God. And that response is that we make the effort to know Him. How many good friendships have you had where you can say that good friend of yours made the effort to get to really know you? And perhaps the ones that maybe weren't that good friendships, you could look back and say, you know what? I can't really say that they made an effort to get to know me that well. I mean, like, really know me. Not just what I do for a living and where I live and what kind of car I drive, but I mean, like, to know Andy. To be a good friend of Jesus, I believe you really need to make the effort to get to know the heart of your friend, the heart of Jesus, and welcome Him to know your heart, to know your story, and learn from Him. Learn from His values. Learn from the wisdom that He teaches us in what we often call the good book, right? Absolutely. Learn from Him. What does He have to teach you today? And yeah, today maybe there'll be something you read that's convicting. And you'll go, that was not very pleasant to read that today. Because I felt like God just spoke right to something that I know I've been struggling with, and He just nailed it. But isn't that the way a good friend really is, though? Like, the good friend knows your heart and speaks truth and love with compassion into that. And they know it's going to be a little uncomfortable for you. But that's okay, because they love you. And love goes beyond the discomfort, because it has your best at heart. He's not going to hide from you what He wants you to know. So I want to invite you to listen to Him. I would say listening is abiding. And abiding is listening. If you really want to abide in Christ, you got to listen to Him. You have to listen. Otherwise, how do you know His heart? Listen to Him teach. Listen to Him encourage. Just listen. Read your Bible, yes. But if need be, shut down some of the social media. There are a lot of voices that come through social media today and through the news being on 24/7 all the time and all kinds of, I mean, it's just so much that we can so easily be bombarded with. And we can look and listen to what God may be trying to speak through those things. I'm not, okay, because I think He does speak through some of those things to help awaken us to understand some truths that maybe we're missing. But you cannot, I don't think you can ever replace the need to sit still, turn off some noises, and just abide and listen. I love the kind of friend that you can just sit with and you don't have to say a word. Those can be pretty nice. Though if you're a person that likes to talk a whole lot, that may drive you nuts. Because you know they'll listen to you talk all day long. And let me share this warning too when it comes to Jesus as our friend. Don't get close to Jesus so you can get something from Jesus. Get close to Jesus so you can just simply be with Him. Remember, a good friendship isn't built on what you can get from them. It's simply just built on being with them. That's a challenging idea on friendship in the Western culture that I'm going to probably guess most of us, if not all, have been raised in, and that's been our worldview. We consume what we can, and we're taught to build and to be better. And I don't think that there's anything inherently wrong in all of that. But what tends to then happen is we take that and we lay it on how we ought to have a relationship with Jesus. And we say, well, you know what? I'm going to be a friend with Jesus if Jesus will give me what I want. And then what happens? Well, He doesn't give you what you want. What do you do? Well, He's not a very good friend. If He's a good friend, He doesn't give me what I wanted. And we'll treat Jesus like we treat folks sometimes in the world, and folks have treated us. I think sometimes that helps us to have some illustrations of things in real life to help us connect with spiritual truths, and I want to do that right now. I'm going to pick on my wife to do that. Not pick. I'm going to speak the truth. Leslie is my best friend. She's been my best friend for 25 years. We've been married for 20, it'll be 21 in this August. I had to make sure I got all the numbers right on that. You know. Okay. One of the things that I know about Leslie is she is one of the best administrators that I have ever met. She truly is gifted and just fantastic at that. The blessing of that in our marriage and in our family has been that she has knocked that out of the park for us and helped us stay organized and get things done that we needed to get done. And so it has been a great blessing to have that. She saved my butt on more than one occasion. When I started in ministry, I was a solo pastor, right? So I was the only pastor there on staff. And so I had to do administrative work and I was doing everything. I'm not a great administrator. Just saying. Right? I'm just saying. But that's not what you hired me here for. I have tried to be careful over the years not to draw close to Leslie so that she could help me dot my I's and cross my T's in our family and in my ministry, so that I could succeed. Because that is a temptation. What I've learned is that I don't draw close to her because I want that from her. I draw close to her because I love being with her. I draw close to her because I feel like with her in my life, I'm a better person. It's the truth. I need her in my life. There would be a hole in my life if she was not there. We don't have the perfect relationship, but I can be me, she can be her. We just be each other, you know, kind of when we're together, and we know that we want each other's best. And usually, that makes for a great, like, day. Except for when we want to go out to eat, and it's like, hey, where do you want to go eat? It's like, well, honey, I don't care. Wherever you want to go. It's like, no, it's okay. Where do you want to go eat at? And then you get hangry, and you're like, oh, just make a decision, right? Because I'm starving. Let's go eat. She and I are committed to one another. And we have to be intentional about that. That has not just happened. We have worked at that. When I think of Jesus as our friend, I believe the same holds true, that we have to be intentional about Jesus being our friend. He's already committed to say, I am your friend. But we know that any good friendship, which is, right, wisdom, requires intentional commitment and hard work. And it requires selflessness and respect, showing dignity to the other person. It requires sometimes sitting when we'd rather go do something else so that we can listen or just be present. And the list can go on, can it? So to have Jesus as our friend, I would say that abiding happens with a daily commitment to it. That we make our status, you know, friend of Jesus, check, you know, the box there. And we participate with Jesus in that relationship. We give and we receive love and respect. We choose to be with Him. We choose to listen to His good wisdom for us. We choose to share ourselves openly with Him. I would have you understand it like this. We know that those are part of a good friendship with another human being. And we know that when that's happening, we're showing value and respect for that other person. The same goes with God. Understand Jesus as our friend. When we are that same way, we are showing value and respect for God. And I don't know, you may get that and go, absolutely, I'm with you. Or we may go, I don't really quite follow that. How is that quite the same? Twice in one sermon. How lucky are y'all? If there's anybody that deserves to be treated with value and respect because they've shown what it looks like to be a loving, true, deep friend, it's the man who hung on this cross. He deserves the value and respect of the best that we can give him. I don't share that as a guilt. Don't hear that. That's not my intent. I share it because you understand what a good friendship requires. And if we say that we are followers of Jesus, proclaimers of this gospel truth, you have to go look back to the cross and say, you know what? Yeah, that's proof to me that he deserves the best that I could give him, because he has given and gives me the best that he has to give me. He is truly my friend. Jesus makes our lives better. Would we agree with that? Amen. He makes our lives better. And I'm grateful for that. But consuming His gifts that make our lives better is not what that friendship is to be built upon. It is to be grounded in selfless, participatory giving and receiving love, where we invest in one another as we choose to be intentionally committed to each other. Here's the reality of that for today. You may be sitting there and go, well, I've not really had that kind of friendship in my life. I don't get exactly what you're talking about. It sounds almost too good to be true. It sounds like one of those things a preacher would say on a Sunday morning. It's real. This kind of friendship, this kind of love is 100% genuine, real deal, Holyfield. I mean, it is true. The cross is proof. The resurrection is proof. The changed lives of people who have made Jesus their friend and have drawn close to Him and abide in Him, it's proof that it's real. It does truly exist. That when God says that through our faith, The love of God is deposited into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us, Romans 5:5. It is true. It's real. This is not made up. And if I was going to be fair, when I talk about Jesus being our friend, I have to say this last piece. And this is the shortest piece. And this is at the end of John 15. Understand. Disclaimer, right? Flashing lights here. Disclaimer. When Jesus is your friend, you will not be a friend who is loved by the world. He says, if the world hated me, it will hate you. If it treated me treacherously because of the love that I brought into the world and what I taught the world about the truth of God's love, it's going to do the same thing to you when you choose to embrace me, abide in me, and live that life in this world. You need to understand that being a friend of Jesus does not make you a popular person. It doesn't make you any more worthy of a raise at work or a promotion or to be better liked in the community. Oftentimes, it will not put you in a place of honor. There will be times where you have to remind yourself, I'm committed to being a friend of Jesus, even though it's not fun right now. Because there's nobody else I'd rather be a dear friend to than Jesus, my Savior and Lord. If you want to glorify God and you want to honor His love for you, you have to be willing to make that choice. And if you've never made that choice before, can I invite you to consider today, is there any reason why today would not be a perfect day to make that decision, to make Jesus that kind of friend in your life where you welcome Him into your presence, you abide in Him closely to know Him better, and you allow Him to just bless your life with the presence of His love, and just see where that takes you. Let go of having control of your life. You're not really controlling it anyways. He's got you. He's a sovereign Lord. Let Him be Lord. Be a friend of the Lord, right? And just abide closely in Him. Listen to Him. Walk with Him. Rest in Him. Wait upon Him. Find your peace in Him. Not your checkbook, not Facebook, not Instagram, not in your neighbors, not in a diet, not in alcohol, not in any kind of other forms of addiction. Try, by the grace of God, to find hope and help and strength and encouragement and the true friend of Jesus in Jesus alone. Allow His Holy Spirit to help you. Cry out to God. And just inhale grace and just exhale worship. Just inhale the grace saying, Lord, I just choose to receive all that You have to give to me by Your grace. Would You strengthen me and lift me up and encourage me like a good friend that I know You are to me? Will You just fill me with Your love afresh and anew? And I'm going to trust You and follow You and rest in You. May You be my peace. And I'm just going to praise You for who You are right now. I'm just going to inhale grace the best I can and exhale worship the best I can every breath of my day and just walk in a friendship with Jesus all day long. Jesus is our friend. And the Gospel of John teaches us how to be a friend of Jesus. I want to invite us. Let's be a friend of Jesus this summer and see what happens in our relationship with God as we deepen that friendship with Him for His glory and for our good, because you will be blessed. But don't let that be the reason that drives you there. To just be with Jesus as simply enough. He can handle the rest. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? If today's a day where you decided, I want to be a friend of Jesus the way that Pastor Andy talked about, but I need help in learning how to develop that friendship. Would you please let me know or let one of our elders know? Because we would love, as much as anything we do, to encourage you and come alongside you and walk with you as you grow in discovering that friendship that is so rich and so wonderful. But it takes time to develop that. And we would love to come alongside you and walk with you as you develop that friendship with Jesus. Just let us know, all right? Amen. Father, in this moment right here, we stand in this place, in this moment of worship. We've gathered together to declare that You're a good God, how much You love us, how much You have done as You have redeemed us. You have brought healing into our lives. You have saved us from death. You have given us forgiveness of sin. You have been the perfect friend to us. You stick closer to us than anyone does or even can. Help us to learn from our good friendships and from what You teach in Your Word, to be encouraged to draw close to You and to be the friend that You ask us to be and are with us as we abide in You and live out that covenant that we have with You through our salvation. May You be blessed in our relationship with You. Amen.